Well, I say good morning to you as well. Thank you. We're winding down our series at 1 and 2 Timothy. Next week, Pastor Brian's going to wrap that up with chapter 4 and the final words of Paul as he lived on this earth. And as I've been studying and listening to the guys teach on my own heart, God has really touched me again on the love not only that Paul had for Timothy as a son in the Lord and wanting to, you know, encourage him and teach him how to lead and pastor a church, but for Paul's love for the church. And I really, as I've grown in the church my whole life, have come to recognize God's heart for his church. It is special, and Hebrews tells us, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not only small group, Brian, but this place is vital in our walk with the Lord. He wants us to be community. And I just want to share, I'll be teaching on 2 Timothy 3. Give you a little background as we try to set, you know, a course to go through this passage in Timothy 3. I want to, if you stay with me, I want you to understand this passage, and it starts out like this. In the last days, there'll be terrible times coming. Now, we all kind of say, yeah, I see that. But I want you to know, and you stay with me in the text, it's not about what's going on out there. Revelation is probably the longest book that tells us how the world's going to end. And praise God, it's going to end with Jesus coming the second time. Amen? To come and to conquer and bring peace on the world in a world that cannot have peace without Christ. And Matthew 24 is a great long passage of Jesus specifically telling us what's going to happen. If you remember, it starts out in that passage, the disciples take him aside and tell us the signs of your coming. And he does. And there's famines and pestilence and great floods, sort of like Harvey, which I personally believe is, again, it's a mercy of God to say things are coming to an end. Wake up. Even through the tragedy. God is mercifully calling a people to himself. And if you don't respond to God before he comes, you're going to be separated from him forever. And we at the church don't want that. God wants to proclaim the message that Jesus is the one and only way to the Father. So there's a couple ways that we can respond to end times. But as we get into the passage here, 2 Timothy 3, I want you to know that there are a lot of people that respond this way or this way. I don't want to know. We need to know. But specifically from chapter 3, because it's not talking about the outside, it's talking about the church. In the last days, terrible times will come because the evil one is going to try to gnaw and gather false teachers to come within and to set us astray. So we have got to be prepared for that. We don't want to put our head in the sand. We also don't want to go the other way, like some of these crazy people, and just start to predict. Jesus is coming. This particular picture, May 21st, 2000. And 11, is that? Didn't happen, did it? And so many people make fun of Christians because there's people on that side that go nuts. Okay? When clearly the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. So we don't know. But here's what the Bible does say. We can begin to sense the seasons. We are seeing that we are moving towards the last days. Let me define last days. And let me get this picture off of here. Last days in Scripture is defined by this, between the first coming of Christ, which was about 4 BC, and the second coming of Christ. That's the last days. Then there's times where the Scriptures talk about the last day, and that's the day when Jesus comes. So there's a huge chasm between this time, and we do not know the time, the day, or this and that, but we do know the seasons. We know it's getting closer because it's been about 2,000 years. So tomorrow is even closer yet. And Paul wants Timothy, and he wants us to know that we need to be on our guard. This story is in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Paul spent a lot of time in Ephesus teaching and training these men. And at the end of his time, he had to leave. He was doing some journeys, getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And while he was on his way, he called the elders of the church of Ephesus to gather with them. And he told them, this is going to be the last time I'll ever see you. And they were weeping over the fact that Paul is leaving, they'll never see him again, and just the effect that he has had on them. It's powerful. And here's what he says to them in Acts 20. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that when I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Now that happened to Timothy. There was a lot of false teaching going on. But as we get into the passage in 2 Timothy, it's going to be for us to know as well. Verse 30, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Do you sense Paul's heart for the church in Ephesus and God's heart for the church across the board until he comes? Here's a powerful section in the book of Colossians, also written by Paul. But it's inspired by God. We're going to see that at the end of chapter 3 here, that God is revealing his heart. And I want to say this here at Hope. Your elders have this same heart. Not only do we love you, but we are very concerned with the path that each one of us has taken because of savage wolves. Let me read this to you. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people because of the first coming. To them, God has chosen to make among the Gentiles this glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our message of the gospel. We want people to know that their sins can be forgiven by simply having faith in the one who conquered sin and paid for the penalty of their sin and my sin. And it goes on to say this, he is the one we proclaim. That's what we want to be here in Hope. We're proclaiming Christ. Admonishing, once in a while, we want to correct each other. And teaching everyone with all wisdom, all the ability we have to pour out the Scriptures correctly to you. So that, and here's the key, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's the goal of the elders here at Hope Community Church, that each one of us are growing in Christ, knowing who he is, and allowing the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit to empower us to live out this life. Verse 29, to this end I strenuously contend with all energy of Christ, that so powerfully works in me. That's what we want to accomplish here. So all that to get to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm just going to run through this and unpack a few things here. And it starts out this way. But mark this. Write it down. Put it in your mind and your heart. There will be terrible times in the last days. If you study the church, and I did this, but it's too much to reveal to you. It's incredible throughout history how the church has allowed sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing to come and bring in horrific doctrine. We have got to hold that up. There will be terrible times, and I want you to see why it's in the church. Now, here's what they're going to be like. Interesting, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, there was qualities and character that God says, this is what my people must be, those who are leaders in the church. Listen to these characters. This is the ones that are going to come in, and this is what they're going to be like in the church. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. It's even going to affect the church here, how our children grow. We want to be encouraging and supporting parents to lead their kids in obedience. It is such an important part of God's plan for His church. Ungrateful. We see that in society, but it's coming into the church, and we've got to be careful. We need to be people who are thankful for what God has done. That's why we have communion, to remind us what Christ has done to pay for our sins. We never want to forget that. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. One of the things I could have gone here is the whole aspect of love. I just want to say this. Biblical love, God's love, is impossible for you and I apart from the Holy Spirit. 1 John says it this way, and we're talking about agape love that Brian taught on a couple weeks ago. You and I can have love. There's a few different types of love. Phileo love is brotherly love. We can have some kind of love, maybe helps us get along, or we can treat each other nice. But without the Spirit of God indwelling you, you and I cannot live out agape love. It can only come from God. 1 John 5, whoever lives in God lives in love and love in Him. We need to let God's love flow through us. These guys are not doing that. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. It's sort of like this. I got an illustration. These guys want to come into the church and let you think that they're carpenters or teachers able to lead you. And what they do is they do this. And actually, that can work a little bit. There's things that are accomplished, okay? But this, one of my favorite tools. Anybody know what this is? A palm sander. They have a sense of religion, but they deny the power. Why is that? Because God doesn't dwell in them. But you and I, in the church, and leadership, when we have power, we can accomplish godly things. Without that, the Bible says it's wood, hay, and stubble. We just go through the motions. We can appear that we accomplish things, but we can't accomplish anything without Christ and giving us the rule and reign. John 15 says that clearly. The example of the vine, abiding in Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, wait a second. I do this, I do that. How about this, Lord? The Lord says sobering words in the Gospels. People come to him at the end of the day, the end of time, and say, Lord, didn't we do this for you and this for you? And didn't we preach well and this and that? And Jesus will say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, because I never knew you. Powerful words. And we need to understand that there's people that will try to come in the church and are coming into the church of Jesus Christ that claim to have a form of godliness, but it's just words. They do not have the power of God within them. Now, here's how we see this. It's specifically saying in the text, they're the kind, when I move to the next verse here. Oop, did I go ahead? No. Oh, well, you know what? Yeah. Do I have it out of order here? Is that verse 6 starting with verse 6? The other way? Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I need help. Verse 6 says this. They are the kind who, these teachers who have a form of godliness, but don't really have God's power within them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women. Not sure why he picked gullible women. Men are gullible too, okay? We can all be led astray. Who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. So it's talking about these men, these teachers, these false teachers, who they attack. Then it stops there and it goes back to the teachers. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose truth. Now these two guys are quite characters. They are not mentioned anywhere in Scripture except for Timothy. So how did Paul know that? Because he was inspired by God to put it in. But if you go back to tradition, these two guys, and we don't know if this is absolutely true, but it is tradition. We know the Scriptures are true. And it mentions these two guys here, and they opposed Moses. These two guys were probably the top magicians that were at Pharaoh's temple when Moses was having the 10 plagues come. And these guys were counterfeiting. As a matter of fact, tradition tells us that when Israel left after the Passover, these two guys went with them. And guess what? They were there at the time of melting all the gold and having it come up to a cow, which was such a ridiculous story. But tradition says that. It may have been. But these two guys were opposing what's truth, just like these men here that we learned in chapter 1, who are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I would say this too. You as a congregation here at Hope, you need to keep an eye out for this kind of shenanigans as well as the leaders are. If you see something in me that isn't right, you have to come to me. That's biblical. We learned that in 1 Timothy. Why? Because God wants to protect his church. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And he wants to keep this stuff out of it. Now listen to what it says about them. They are men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected by Christ. It's his church. But they will not get far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. And I don't know, but certainly it indicates here If you remember at the Golden Calf, there was many people wiped out. It's possible these two guys were part of that and gone. Wow. Sobering thoughts. I must be clicking this the other way. Oh, maybe I'm going backwards. Two more. Yeah. Oh, I am going the other way. My fault. I'm going to learn this thing yet. Thanks. That's what the church is supposed to do, encourage one another. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose. You see how he's switching it now? Here's what the bad guys look like. Here's what true godly teachers look like. Timothy, you've seen me in action. You know what I've taught. You've watched me live it. And I've lived it with faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me when I was in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all them. In fact, now listen to this verse. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Don't buy the teachers that, oh, you come to Jesus and everything's great. It's an easy life. God does everything for you. They're misrepresenting the true Christian life. When you and I live a godly life in a wicked world, we will be persecuted. Count on it. Wait for it. Be prepared for it. Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works. Some may mock it. We see that today. And church, we need to be prepared. That's part of my message today. We will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I just want to share with you, and it's coming out of Africa, but there's a movement now in the church where they're calling themselves the Apostolic Reformation, where they're saying God is raising up apostles again. Now, I don't have time to unpack this, but when you look at Scripture, there's 12 apostles. You even go to Revelation, and each one of them gets a gate at the end for the way they served and died for Christ. And yet, people are saying, oh, yeah, it's coming again. We got powers. They're claiming they go to heaven. They're claiming they raise the dead. Not that God can't raise the dead, but I think it's a bunch of baloney, and we need to be prepared for it. It's wild out there. Am I going the right way? Okay. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that from whom you learned it. Paul's telling Timothy, Timothy, don't move away from what you've been taught through the Scriptures, and how from infancy you have known the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. You hear that? Are you in the Word? Because the Word of God will make you wise, especially with all the deception that's going on. They'll make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. From infancy, if you remember back in 1 Timothy, we learned about Lois and Eunice teaching Timothy as a young boy. Here's how this wraps up. What a glorious verse for us to believe in. If you're in Christ today, I hope you believe this down to the very depths of your being. All Scripture is God-breathed. All of it. I have studied just the power of the Word, all the things that it's so true. You may not believe it. I'll be glad to sit down and spend hours with you telling you the power of Scripture. It is absolutely true. You can depend on it. Because in the beginning, God, and God breathed through all the years of history, through 40 different authors, to come up with one theme in Scripture: the redemption of mankind, because you and I need it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. All right, write it down. There's four things here. All Scripture is useful for teaching or doctrine. That's why here at Hope, we guard this very carefully. For rebuking, how many here need to be rebuked from time to time? We don't like that word, do we? I'm an adult now. I don't have to rebuke. I need rebuking all the time. And I want to just suggest this. Rebuking is something that I've done already, and I need to change course. That's part of repentance. Because I want to say correcting is helping me before I even do it. I need that. And that saves me from so many miseries. And then the training in righteousness. That's why we meet together. To learn who God is. To learn the power that He has and the direction that He wants for my life. And what's the purpose of all that? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness? So that every one of us here at Hope that name the name of Christ are prepared, thoroughly equipped, says the Scriptures, for every good work. We need to be ready every time we have an opportunity to do good. That's what the people of Christ do. We got our radars out. Similar to what's going on down in Houston in that whole area. We're going to be doing that with our benevolence, and hopefully you've gotten that report through the weekly instruction of what's going on this week. These next 2 weeks, we're going to be collecting benevolence for Samaritan's Purse. There's an organization that we believe in, that we know not only are they spreading the gospel, that's next here. Come back. Okay. I don't know what I did there. We're done though. I'm gonna wrap it up here. Let me just tell you three things that we want to make sure each one of us here are encouraged to make sure through the power of God that we're doing. Godly living. Let the power of Christ, which you received by grace through faith alone, let this power rule your heart by the Holy Spirit, which enables you to live a godly life. We talked about that before. You and I have been given the Holy Spirit to live a godly life. And a godly life will save us for incredible, incredible miseries, mistakes, sins, and it is so worth it. John 10 says, I've come that you might have life in that abundant, because it's in Christ. That's where we need to stay. Not only godly living, but we need to know truth. We need to know right doctrine. God's teaching is the right doctrine. A few weeks ago, Brian in our elders meeting encouraged us this way. Men, we need to be in the Word. If your elders aren't in the Word, you're in trouble. And I would ask myself and my other elders, are we spending time with the Lord, listening to Him from His Word? We have to in these last days, because deception is as thick as a fog. And God will lead us through that. And then third, just want to encourage us with this. When we're living a godly life in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we're studying in the Word and asking God for us to do that, there are enjoyments and pleasures forevermore because Christ is living in us. We're communion with God and each other. So as we look ahead for what God wants us to do, we want to be on our guard. We want to be prepared. We want to know God's word so when we hear something that's not true, those little red flags go up. And it may seem like we're trying to control because there's times when Bible studies and some retreats are happening and we as elders want to know what you're teaching. Please don't take that as we want to have a hand on it. All we want to do is make sure that our people are hearing truth. And we want to guard that. That's what we're told to be. Let's pray. Father, we need to wait. We need to watch. We need to pray. We need to be on our guard. Other places in Scripture says we need to have our lamps full of the oil, the power of God. So when times get rough, we will not be tossed around to and fro as the waves of the sea crash upon us. We want to be men and women here at Hope that stand firm and are not shaken because our anchor is in Christ. Thank you for your word from Paul to Timothy to us, that we will mark this. Terrible times are coming. We need to be on our guard and watch for it. Help us to be men who lead this church that are full of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.